Great to see all of you. It's great to be back in London. It's been a while, so yeah, it's a crazy day for us. Joey Calderazzo is on the piano. Eric Rivas on the bass. And our maitre d' for the evening, Evan Sherman on the drums. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
so I'll do it. So, yeah, now we're going to play a ballad called A Thousand Autumns.
Thank you.
Thank you. Joey Calderazzo on the piano. Eric Rivas on the bass. Evan Sherman on the drum. Appreciate you listening. See you next time.
Mr. Branford Marsalis, welcome back to what I like to think of as your second home, London town.
It really is, actually, Jazz, yeah.
Yeah.
It certainly feels like it.
So look, we haven't had you on Jazz on 3 live since 2001 when you played at Ronnie Scott's, a now legendary gig doing a Love Supreme.
Supreme gig, yeah.
But it's not like you haven't been playing live. I follow you on Twitter, Branford. I'm going to say this because I think I can say it to you. You're the worst person on Twitter.
Thank you.
You don't do that, do you?
It's not me at all.
It's a computer. It's a machine.
No,
that does
it's
that.
The people in the management company do that. I have no... I think the biggest problem for me is that I don't think in 140 characters. So anything that I have to say about music, there's no way I can...
Yeah,
and I'm not the kind of person that say, you know, brushing my teeth today, you know. Oh, look at this nice car. I mean, that's just not...
Yeah, but the reason I mention it is because it keeps me in touch, at least even if I don't get, you know, that stuff. I know where you're playing, and you've been playing a lot, and unlike many people, it's the quartet. You know, I was thinking about your career earlier on today. For the last, how many years has it really just been about the quartet for you?
Since 95. Since I left the Tonight Show. Yeah, so...
Was that a decision you made then, like, everything's going to go into this band?
Well, it's not everything's going to... I just think that I have two choices. I can play trio or I can play quartet. And I really do love the trio format. And, you know, if Joey leaves the band, then we'll probably be a trio again until I find somebody else that I like playing the piano. But the quartet setting is more versatile. It's more accessible. For instance, we play a song like A Thousand Autumns. The original one was trio. And for like the listening audience, the regular listening audience, trying to ascertain the beauty of a melody without the chord structure is very difficult to listen for them. But as soon as the piano comes in, it just changes the entire character of the song and of most songs.
And you mentioned Joey, so it's about the people, obviously.
Yeah, personnel.
And with him, such a long relationship. Mm. Still building all the time, still learning all the time.
We're constantly... learning. You know, Joey does other things. We listen to a lot of different types of music, a lot of classical music now, and it keeps going in a forward trajectory, you know. Because it's a funny thing, I was talking to a friend of mine who's more of a rock and roll fan, who's converted to jazz, and he says, man, I went to like 3 gigs and you guys played the same 5 songs you played the night before. I said, yeah, but they weren't played the same way. It's like, because that's the thing. I mean, Miles Davis played the same songs with 3 different bands for 30 years. So... it's not real, but if you listen to My Funny Valentine in the 50s, and then you listen to My Funny Valentine in the 60s, I mean, it's a completely different thing. And that's the whole point, is that the musicianship needs to be such that we can just bring a different reality to the songs every night. And when I get the sense that we're playing a song, and guys have created their own system inside the system, and they're relying on little devices that they know work on the songs, and that song goes out of the book.
So are there songs that you've kept in your set for the entire time or that come
No, we changed. Well, we have this kid playing drums with us, Evan Sherman, and there's a lot of things we can't play with him because he just doesn't know how to do that.
That's the big surprise for me when I looked at the lineup, because the last time I saw you, I think you were here a couple of years ago, you introduced Justin and he completely blew my mind and I think everybody's mind. Right. He was young. He was extraordinary. He was like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And now you say you got... you described him as a kid. I just seen him. He looks about 14. So yeah, tell us about this guy.
I heard him play in New York, and I knew Justin wasn't going to be able to make this tour because he's doing a movie, believe it or not. And he's a big jazz fan, and he's got a decent beat. And we should just bring him on here and torture him and beat him up a little bit, and try to get him to understand that there's another way to play, because he's truly like really into the whole post-bop thing. And I'm like, that's great, you should learn that. But then there's this other thing over here that you need to start thinking, a way to think. It's about being in a situation where you are listening to songs actually listening. So many times, my view when I listen to records is that musicians are smart enough to know song structure. And oftentimes they're playing the structure of the song, but not the song. So you get this detached feeling when you listen, like you have three or four or five people on the stage, and the only thing they really do together is they start and stop at the same time, but they don't really play together. I guess the best analogy I can give is that I did this Baroque tour, and we're playing this very difficult piece by Bach, Oboe Concerto in F, playing on soprano saxophone, and a piece by Albinoni. And it wasn't until the third week that my brain had slowed down enough for me to realize that at no time during the first 2 weeks was I remotely listening to the orchestra at all. I was so focused on the execution of the information, my job to execute the information that I had, that I couldn't even hear them, and I was as close to them as I am to you right now.
So you just focused and reading
on your thing. You're right. Focused on your thing. At the beginning of the third week, I turned to the principals in this orchestra and said, I owe you guys an apology. They said, why? I said, it just dawned on me that for the last 2 weeks I completely ignored you. And they smiled. They said, yeah, we know. And I said, yeah, it's really hard, but I think I'll be better from now on. And they said, that's really exciting that you know. Because they didn't think that I would even notice it. You know, so when I said, you know, sorry, I was just ignoring you guys, but it wasn't on purpose. They said, yeah, well, the music's really hard. I said, yeah, now it's a little less hard, so we can go out there and make music now.
You mentioned your classical career. Actually, you're a guest on Essential Classics here on BBC Radio 3. Mm. All of next week, you can catch Bramford talking to Sarah Walker. You've had this parallel career for a long time. Is it developing more? Is it taking up more of your time?
It takes up a lot of time, but it's more of a, it's not really a career. It's more of an avocation. And it's one that, if played well, it makes my jazz playing a million times better for myriad reasons. When you listen to modern jazz, so much of the execution now, the velocity and the speed is all kind of in like four-bar phrases. And there are these patterns that correspond to a chord structure. So one of the things that I started doing with my students is telling them that they could play anything that they wanted for three bars, but in the fourth bar they can't play. And what it does is that they have become conditioned to learning in fours. So suddenly they have to play in threes, and their wiring just goes completely haywire. Well, classical music makes the wiring go haywire real quick, because you just can't get away with playing in fours. It's just this different thing. So mental independence is much better when you do it. The tone of the instrument is incredible, because you don't get to choose when you play soft or when you play loud. That is chosen for you. And soft in classical music is truly soft. Soft in jazz is just less loud. So when you're in a situation where you have to play soft and the muscles in your mouth are screaming in pain at first, because you just have to learn how to play with that kind of control, it makes it so much better. For instance, playing ballads on the other end, I can play really, really long notes and hold them for a long time, and my tone doesn't quiver and break and do all of these things, which a lot of times vibrato is essentially a way to mask that kind of imperfection.
Well, we'll listen out for some of what you've been talking about there in the concert tonight, and listen to Bramford talking more about his love of classical music on Essential Classics. Thanks for talking. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Pleasure, Jeff.